Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
For your heart, till I am a soul on fire.
evening, girlfriends.
Good evening.
Hey, welcome to the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. We are glad that you joined us wherever you are tonight. Well, tonight for us, maybe this morning for you. We want to say welcome. We are talking about The Gift in You by Dr. Caroline Lee. Pretty exciting. And we watched a video last week, so it just kind of summed up everything we've been reading in the book. But if you have not read any of her literature or watched her on YouTube, we highly recommend Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F, and Discovering the New Life Through Gifts Hidden in Your Mind. So we're going to open up in prayer. Tammy Saltz is my co-host tonight. Would you like to open in prayer, Tam?
Sure.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we ask for your blessing in our lives and guidance in our decisions, and open our ears and our hearts to absorb what you're offering. We thank you, and amen.
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 So where are you guys as far as your summary goes in the book now? Can you give me kind of an update on what you guys have gone over? I know that I actually missed a week myself. Tammy.
Well, it's pretty deep to just give you a summary.
Is it? Okay. Well, if it doesn't work, that's fine. I was just curious if it worked or not. So tonight we're going to be on chapter 7 and 8. And she's actually talking about the pillars of the brain, which is really interesting. I'm doing neuroscience in my communication disorders undergraduate work and for speech pathology and audiology. They both have to go through this. But it's funny how she's taken the seven pillars, or the basically almost the surfaces of the brain, and called them the pillars, because each area of the brain, of course, coincides with how we act, how we think, different areas, you know, that we maybe utilize more. So I've never quite heard personalities, characteristics. Sometimes it could be the personality tree or sanguine melancholy. You know, the other way to look at it is controller or peacemaker, that kind of stuff. And the way that she's taken it is way more of a literal term on how, not how we act, but what area of the brain we're utilizing as we act. So it's a very different way. I have a bachelor's degree in temperament therapy, which we deal with people that are sanguine, melancholy, supine, choleric, and we talk about, you know, how someone would act. Like if they're choleric, they would have a tendency to be an excellent boss, an excellent lead. You know, they would be more aggressive. However, the negativity to choleric is bossy, over-aggressive, freight train. It could be freight train, where if somebody doesn't have that personality under control, they could just spout out stuff like a train goes by and doesn't realize they killed five puppies on the way. Because they're
like
headed.
Yeah,
exactly. A toddler and a teenager, very much the same way. And they just say whatever they think, and they keep on going and don't realize all the people that they hurt in the meantime. But they're great leaders, you know. Or on the other way, we have people that use a different type of their brain, which are what we call melancholy. That would be somebody who is more music inclined, but not necessarily musical, but more musical inclined. I help in a choir in junior high in one of the classes I assist in, and when I come in, she has music playing, and instantly I'm happier in that class because some people feel music. You know, other people enjoy it or it can have a beat or whatever, but some people really feel music, and that's a melancholy, and it's a very creative type personality, but the negativity on that one is they can get depressed. So someone that can be moved by music and moved by emotion, unfortunately, can also be moved negatively. So you look at different things. She doesn't talk about the negative in that, but so I just highly went over this. And the way that my brain works is I'm a very, I guess, well, I'm a sanguine, but I'm more melancholy than I am sanguine, actually. And so I enjoy being happy, and I notice color and that kind of stuff as a sanguine, but I also am very detail-oriented when it comes to paperwork, not to my house, not to categorizing things. I could, you know, I can't stand when my house is messy, but it doesn't kill me that it is. It does kill me that if I don't know what I'm doing that day, if I'm in charge of something. But I'm not choleric enough to say, Mary, you need to do this with me, because I don't really care if you do. You know what I mean? And another thing is I don't want to cause waves. I don't like non-peaceful situations. Some people don't mind saying, I'm going to rock the boat, and it's going to be fun. I'm married to somebody like that, who they're just like, is that the way you're supposed to do it? Well, then we're not going to do it that way. And, you know, but they're going to be so upset. It's going to be funny, you know, and I don't like it at all. I mean, I could feel myself, oh, my gosh, I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to break out. You know, I don't like when somebody else is upset. So the pillars, what is, or actually it says that the humanness comes from the interaction of all of these in our brain and everything that we are. So it's not like you're this, you're that, you're that. This test that you're going to be taking, has anybody already started taking the test? You have? Okay, this test that you're taking is going to show you how individual you really are. And it talks about the seven pillars of the brain, or they're really surfaces, and our highest thought pattern. So we're not all going to be the same. It's not all cookie cutter. And they're going to be sectioning out which areas of your brain you tend to use more and how to access the good in those. Now, in temperament therapy, I could show you the negatives in those. So if I meet somebody and they want to work with me on their temperament for life coaching to figure out what they're good at, I would show them the things they're good at, but at the same time, show them areas that they could be weak in. So if I would have somebody who would be a choleric, I would say what I just said, hey, you'd be a great leader, but however, you can really appear bossy.
I know.
And so unfortunately, leaders don't hardly ever have tons of friends. You know, and my dad's illustration is that, is eagles don't flock.
I have friends.
You know, and unfortunately, sometimes they're lonely in some areas, but they're leading in other areas. So it says that intrapersonal intelligence is the first part of the brain, and this is people that we would call analyzers. Does anybody feel that you're any kind of an analyzer? This is, we're going to make decisions about what we say and what we think. This pillar is fundamental to self-knowledge and understanding of your own feelings and your own intuition. Thank you. That would not come in through my brain. The ability to access those allows you to guide your behavior, understand your strengths and weaknesses, imagine concepts, plans, and activities, and solve problems. Now, I think Sandra's good at this one because I can call her and bounce off information for the youth group with me, and she thinks individually on what the kids will think. Whether she's thinking about one kid or 15 of them, she'll say, well, this probably wouldn't work for this person, and this person. And we were very careful on who we chose for the student of the month, because we didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but at the same time make everybody feel welcome, every teenager, whether they attend all the time or sometime, whether they're involved or not involved, whether they're considered a Christian or not a Christian. We want to make them all feel individualized. So this is a few of the I'm trying to skim over this so fast because I have so much more to add to it because this is just my realm.
You're
right,
good?
If intrapersonal thinking is at the top of your thinking pattern, you may display some of these qualities. You are aware of a range of your own emotions. You have the ability to control and work with your thoughts and emotions. You find ways of expressing your thoughts, and you're motivated to identify and pursue goals. That's me right there. You work well independently. You're curious about the meaning of life. You self-manage ongoing personal learning and growth. You attempt to understand inner experiences. You empower and encourage others. You like solitude and are happy to work alone. And, you know, I think sometimes that comes with age.
Yes.
Is that just me?
No, it's having kids.
That's my first one.
Yes. No, it's because you have children. Anybody that has children prefers to work alone.
I think sometimes. But before, I remember being in my 20s, I didn't want to be alone. I didn't even like to drive alone. And now it's kind of like, I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to go be alone. I kind of enjoy being alone. Yeah, back and forth, kind of like, oh, it's kind of nice, just refresh and get away from everybody. Yeah. You enjoy thinking strategies, journal, writing, relaxation, self-assessment. I tell everybody I counsel with to journal, and I hate journaling.
I do too.
I absolutely hate journaling, but it is work, and it is self-work, and it is something that sometimes you need to see on a piece of paper. Now, let me tell you something about journaling. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to control your emotions, if you're trying to set up goals and plans and dreams, journal. Journal, 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 journal. Because if you write it down, there's a way more higher probability that you will fulfill those things. Now, let me tell you, it's not because you wrote them down. It's because you see them.
I never know what to see.
And it's the power of your mind of seeing something that's so, so important. I will tell you, on a negative side, this is why pornography is so horrible to your brain. Because if you see it on a piece of paper, sometimes it takes 5 minutes, sometimes it takes 5 years, but you will act out on what you continue to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why pornography and abuse go together so many times. Looking at something and having it going to the eye gauge of your mind, you will fulfill what you are looking at. If you don't like to journal, draw pictures of it, even more powerful. Draw pictures. Look at those pictures over and over again. You enjoy thinking strategies, journal writing. You have the ability to access and evaluate situations. The professions that you might be good at are a judge, a counselor, an advocate, an educator, a lawyer, a therapist, a novelist, a psychiatrist, a philosopher, an elder, a mathematician, a visionary, visionary leader. The other thing is interpersonal thinking, and this is just behind the extrapersonal thinking. There's an area of interpersonal thinking. These nerves are all responsible for communicating, not simply talking, but communicating. Have you ever met somebody that is just plain good with people? And it doesn't matter what age they are. They're just plain good with people. And they don't have to be a chameleon. For me to talk to a teenager, I don't all of a sudden have to be wearing a sweatshirt instead of a jacket. There are people that are beauty consultants, Debbie and I both know, that would say if you're going to speak with teenagers, you need to make sure to have a jacket. Like Debbie's dressed, she's dressed, you know, formal up here and casual on the bottom, and that supposedly will be able to talk to any age group. So you're talking, you know, self-image way, but I'm talking communicatively. If I want to communicate to you and you, even though you're different age groups, I shouldn't have to look any different if I truly can communicate. So there's a difference between somebody that can communicate and somebody that can blend in with somebody else that age. So this talks about someone who is has empathy with other people. The pillar has sensitivity to other people. This person is good at mediating. How many of you feel that you're good at mediation? If somebody has a problem between two people, you can come in and kind of fix it up a little bit. Do you feel like that? I can see that with you, Donna. It says that a few of these qualities would be you're a strong leader. You're good at networking. You can negotiate. You can teach. You can bounce ideas off of other people, which I do with Sandra all the time. You love to talk. You like to organize. You happily mediate disputes, and you enjoy acting as a mentor to others. You have ability to focus outward on other people. You can sense other people's moods, temperaments, motivation. And can anybody sense other people's temperaments? Mm-hmm. Like you walk in the door, and you're like, oh, she so does not like me.
I think that's being a woman.
There's a little bit of female, you know, but I think it's just because men don't want to deal with it as much.
True.
You know?
Right. Right.
Well, they're not made up.
Does anybody have a more sensitive husband that would deal
with it? My husband does.
Is he more sensitive that way?
My husband is very much that way.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems like it kind of runs in women more, maybe.
Really
sensitive?
Yeah, he really is. You wouldn't know it by looking at him, but he is very, very keyed into people's emotions. He doesn't deal with them. He'll just be like, okay, bye.
Right.
But he'll tell me.
But I could tell that you weren't somebody to deal with today. Yeah. Maybe he would say something like that. Yeah.
So he'd be the one that could tell when they said, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
And now if I said to my husband, I'm fine, he would say, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I had tears screamed down my face, he'd probably say,
I'm
going to
be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Don't call me later.
My husband, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's just, you know, you excel at group work. You are great to influence people. You form lasting social relationships. So a short list of what you'd be good at is politician, religious leader, salesperson. I think it's funny that religious leader and speech language therapist is on the same thing.
I think it's funny that religious leader and politician are on the same thing.
Hey.
I know
a lot of absolutely.
Yeah. Look at Val Stevens.
I know a lot of people. This one is intra.
Intra.
Intra, not, yeah, inter, not intra, yeah, inter.
Inter.
But I thought, you know, politician, religious leader, they intermingle a lot. Not our pastors here, but there's a lot of pastors that have to play a lot of politics that don't read the truth or don't preach some of the truth in fear of offending somebody. Yeah. Salesperson, educator, counselor, social worker, speech language therapist, occupational therapist, psychologist, public relations, human resources manager. And then there's linguistic thinking. Now, this is right up my alley right here. And this is, it's a universe by nature and is present of all of us, a varying degree, but it is a natural leaning toward the domains that make up language, its structure and use. So this is somebody who spells well, who asks a lot of questions, who can learn languages easier, who has a good memory of names and dates and places. I can tell you what somebody looks like way more than I could tell you what somebody's name is. I don't remember names very well. In short, these are things that you're kind of good at here, which are publicist, editor, speechwriter, poet. This would be you, Lisa, wouldn't it? Am I right?
I think the poet, novelist, and all that, we put you down for this one, but I am really good with the names and stuff. I was just saying, it's funny when Dr. comes in and goes, so who's that farmer guy?
And
that was in on Monday, and I'm like, a little more description, please.
Yes. Oh, funny. I would say farmer guy. Journalist. I love to write, love to journal. You know.
Good at birthday.
Oh, first, well, Johnny Lee knows all of her things. So this is somebody, this is what I had to learn in speech, too, and that includes semantics, which is the meaning of words, phonology, which is the sound of words, syntax, which is rules that govern. You know, we all have that syntax order in our head when we're babies and don't even know that we're putting a verb in front of a noun or an adjective or a preposition. We don't know that we're doing that, but we've learned it and already know all the rules. So if we say things wrong, we have them in the wrong syntax order, that's a communication linguistic disorder, which is what my son has. So for a long time, instead of I don't know, he would say, no me no, no me no. And we got him a dog, it'll be 2.5 years ago now. And this, I mean, he speaks so much better now than he used to. But 2.5 years ago, we said, what do you want to name your dog? And, no me no. What do you want to name her? No me no. So we named her No Me No. So her name is Nomi. And yeah, and just 2.5 years ago, he would never say No Me No now.
Right.
You know, but that is a syntax disability. Pragmatics is how language can be used to communicate effectively. So so these are what you're good at, speechwriter. Anybody that? Are you that, Mary? Really?
No.
You're very detail-oriented. I'm surprised.
But not speech.
But
speech
spell well, learn languages easy. You have reading and lots of
my
books. What does it sound like you? Yeah.
And
so
you're an attorney, too.
Some
because
people
they have
are.
To be able to speak and communicate and get that point across.
Right. Communication is so important. And then the other thing is logical and mathematical thinking. Is anybody that at all that I could borrow you?
Wait,
you are?
Is that logistic?
Oh.
Oh, no. I'm
logical and mathematical thinking.
Interpersonal and conceptual.
Yeah, I can see that. This type of thinking involves your capability to understand an underlying principle of connecting systems, logical problems, equations, mental calculations.
No.
Oh, my word, that hurts my brain. This is one of your primary pillars, then you're good at numbers, at pattern recognition. You can see this area in somebody's brain when they are in preschool. You can say, okay, there's this, and a pencil. What's the pattern? And my kids at like one could go this, and a pencil. It's like, how do you even know what the word pattern means?
Yeah.
For you to understand what that is. And they are excellent at math. There you go. It goes together. So you are disciplined in your thinking. You like to calculate and quantify. You want to reason things out. You want to know what's coming up next. You love to roam in the realm of imaginary and irrational numbers. You or fully understand complex sequences, solve problems. You're good at being a scientist, a medical doctor, a mathematician, a project manager, an accountant, a lecturer, an engineer, a researcher. Now, the sad thing about this one is an animal tracker.
A tracker, if I
did. Well, he was a beekeeper, though. The sad thing about all of these are, if you're good at all that math stuff, these are all very good jobs, but almost all of them you got to go to college for. I mean, what about these people, in Mexico that are living underneath a tent and they have all these wonderful things in their brain, but financially they will never be able to use them. That's what makes me sad.
Yeah.
See what a sentimental thinker I am.
Yes.
Kinesthetic, which is kinesiology, right, which is movement, which is Debbie does. It is the intelligence of movement. It's a somatic sensation, body sensation of moving around. Do you know anybody like that? That is energetic. They involve the control of body movements. These kind of thinkers need to touch, feel, move things around to understand. You know what these are. These, you have good coordination. You better. You have a sense of timing. You approach problems physically. You touch things.
That
you fiddle with things. You often stretch. Oh, this is so Philip, Debbie.
I was thinking that too.
Oh, my word. You love to dance. Did you see that part?
Yeah.
You love to dance. You need to move when thinking. You enjoy exercise. You like crafts and hobbies. Dexterity, grace, balance. Oh, so all the ballerinas.
Kinesthetic.
Yeah, the one that reminds me of kinesiology.
Okay.
Yeah. In short, you could be an actor, an athlete, a dancer, an inventor, a jeweler, sculptor, surgeon. Oh, I can see that. Yeah, somebody that knows how to do your face. You better hope they're using the right part of their brain. The other thing is musical thinking. I love this part because this is not if you're just good at singing or an instrument, but you read between the lines, which is reading notes. Isn't that amazing? And you can tell when something's wrong. You have a sensitivity to pitch, to melody, to rhythm, tune it. And you know what I like? That dancing is over here and not necessarily over here because that's not what I'm good at. Some types of thought have a critical period for optimal development, and musical intelligence is one of them. And if your musical intelligence is strong, then characteristics you may display are you instinctively feel when things are right or wrong. You don't do things unless they feel right. Now, see how touchy-feely music stuff is?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are with a group of musicians, a group of singers, you could get a lot more drama than being in the drama class because somebody that is in touch with their feelings is very concerned about other people. I help out in all-boys choir, and I have never been talked to by boys so much than in this class. I know, and it's not just because it's all boys. It's because I could go to woodshop, and they'd be like, hey, why are you in here? New teacher? What's up? And I can go to music, and they'd be like, did you get your haircut today? You know? And they're just more touchy-feely type of, is everything okay?
Well
you have a little
like
bit of mascara.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they are so overly nice to me. I've never had boys talk more about my eyes than it quiet. My eyes? I didn't even know boys knew I had eyes. And I thought, oh, pretty eyes. You're going next week, all week. Sorry about
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
Because
that's okay.
This is wrong.
I know.
That's why I didn't know what time it was.
This is okay.
So, So gut instincts go so much with music. You find yourself interpreting the meaning behind things. You seek out sound. You respond to music. Things you're good at, a conductor, an instrument maker, composer, mixing engineer, piano tuner, disc jockey, music educator, instrumentalist, performance, dancer. Ooh. So anyway, the other thing is the most emotional ones that are in here, they are the same as what we learn before time began, before Genesis, in the other real old books of the Bible of who the devil is. He was the music orchestrator, composer, musician in heaven. So what does that tell us? That tells us that music moves us, but we have to be careful. It says that we could be very drawn to people and their feelings and what they're feeling. Doesn't the devil do that to us, though?
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly where to tempt me. And it's never in an ugly way. It's always in a beautiful way. It's always what we think is beautiful in our life. It just, when I was reading over this, it just reminded me on how evil sin is. How evil what seems so right at the time is and leaves us so empty inside. And how evil comes to us in such a beautiful way, and how the devil